Welcome to the Friday, February 10th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording today from Jacksonville, Florida. A new vulnerability has been discovered in Google Wallet. The software used in Android handsets to store credit card numbers and for its near-field network access. Luckily, the scope of the vulnerability is somewhat limited and it does require physical access to a rooted phone. Now, if the attacker has the access, then an attacker may retrieve the hashed PIN from the device. Now, this PIN is just a four-digit number, and really hashing doesn't add a lot of security in this case because it is trivial to brute force a four-digit hash. The article points out that there is a possible fix to the problem by moving the PIN into the secure element of the NFC device, but this would put it under the legal responsibility of the payment processor, and the entire legal framework around this particular technology is quite complex with different credit cards, Google and merchants and such all working together there. It could also be moved into the SIM card, but same problem here, only now it's the phone company who is really in charge of the SIM. So in short, there isn't really an obvious fix, just watch your phone like you would your real wallet. And while we are talking about password cracking, Russian password cracking firm Elcomsoft extended its toolset again. This time it includes Apple's iWorks suite. The tool will brute force passwords protecting iWork documents, and the brute forcing process can be distributed among multiple systems. Now, this is particularly important since the password is actually implemented quite well in iWork. It uses 128-bit AES encryption, so that's relatively expensive to brute force, and as a result, it's not a straightforward or fast process. Now, Elcomsoft uses dictionaries and such to make that a bit easier, but still, like with all of these document encryption schemes and such, finally, it depends on how strong of a password you're using to protect the document. They can always be brute forced. And electronic manufacturer Foxconn, frequently in use for its questionable labor practices and sort of its alignment with Apple, well, they have been hacked by a group that identifies itself as SwagSec. Haven't really run into that group before. Now, the attacker did post some data dumps from the Foxconn site. Most notably, some password that companies like Apple use to log into Foxconn systems and place orders. So an attacker knowing about these passwords could now place faked orders on behalf of these companies. The passwords that I have seen in some of the excerpts looked actually really trivial. So it's actually possible that some of them may have just been brute forced. That was part of the reason for the breach. But then again, the exact reason for the breach is not known. There's also a website that was associated with that. So, you know, maybe it was just your standard SQL injection or whatever breach of that particular website. Google published a summary of its bug bounty program today for its web applications. Now, the program started just over 15 months ago, and Google paid out so far $400,000 since the inception of the program. Now, it's not the first program of this kind. What was a little bit different here is, first of all, just the sheer size of Google as a company and its importance to the internet in particular, and then that Google essentially encouraged by opening up this program hacking and attacks against its public websites. The problem with that is that unlike you purchasing or downloading an application and testing it on your own equipment, if someone actually attacks and pen tests or tests a Google website, they may affect other customers and may even leak data from other customers. So far, that hasn't really been the case, and the program worked quite well. One number that surprised me is that almost two-thirds, I believe, of the bugs reported to Google actually resulted in some kind of award. One of the concerns with these programs is always that you get flooded with unsubstantiated bug reports and then spend a lot of time vetting these reports, which then in turn, of course, distracts resources from actually testing the site yourself. In addition to that, Google noted that many of the contributors never contributed before to Google, so kind of suggesting that the bug bounty program is one of the motivations behind them reporting directly to Google. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.